Ghoulish greetings, everyone. Those tunes are courtesy of the lovely Bobby Mackey, and I'm, of course, your host, Tessa Morrow. Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? Everyone knows that you couldn't bear the pain, so you took your life in the pouring rain. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from the Arctic Circle to tropical paradise, from resort town to the busiest of cities, and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. This week's special city shoutouts go to Nancy, France, got some World War II history over there, Sarnia, Canada, Traverse City, Michigan, Balsam Lake, Wisconsin, Sandwich, Massachusetts, and Pune, India. First of all, a very happy Easter to everybody. Hoping everybody had a wonderful day. Now, today we find ourselves in one of my go-to states, Arizona, where we venture to a beautiful but dangerous land, a land that many people go to, but not all come out of. Today I'm going to talk about the Lost Dutchman Curse. The Superstition Mountains has a mysterious allure around it, drenched in not only legend, tells, embedded with deep veins, both silver and gold, but also drenched in the blood and bones of people who have come here searching for the lost Dutchman gold. Yes, there have been some accidents. People have fallen to their deaths, perhaps natural causes here and there. But there have also been several murders and supposed suicides. You know, treasure hunters scanning the area, only to be met with foul play. At around 3,000 feet tall, the Superstition Mountains is home to the Lost Dutchman gold mine. It attracts adventurous, thrill seekers, legend trippers, and treasure hunters, seeking the mine and the treasure. Where's me gold, indeed? Stories of the gold dates back to the mid to later part of the 1860s. Now, sadly, as mentioned earlier, some go seeking the gold and they're never seen again. Meanwhile, some are found, but let's just say they aren't going to be writing this year's Christmas letters, as searching for the Lost Dutchman gold mine is the last thing many of these people will do on Earth. And it continues on to this very day, as there is a growing list of missing people and untimely deaths connected to the Superstition Mountains. Well, I want to talk about the missing people and the people whose lives were taken way too soon because of the Last Dutchman Curse. I do want to talk a little bit about the history prior to all of this, though. Legendsofamerica.com shares really interesting history regarding this area, and I found it to be quite intriguing, so I wanted to share that now. Quote, long before gold was found in these rugged cliffs and mesas, the area had been cloaked in mystery. When the Spanish arrived in 1540, the region was inhabited by the Apache Indians, who considered Superstition Mountain sacred ground, as it was home to their thunder god. Led by Francisco Vázquez de Coronado, the conquistadors cared little about the Apache beliefs or customs, wanting only to find the legendary seven golden cities of Cibola. Learning from the Apache that the range did hold gold, the Spaniards were intent on exploring the area. The Apache, however, refused to help them, telling them that if they dared to trespass on the sacred ground, the thunder god would take revenge upon them, causing tremendous suffering and horrible deaths. Okay, so I can totally see where the curse came from. Moving on. Quote, The Indians called Superstition Mountain the Devil's Playground, but the Spaniards were determined and they began to explore. Almost immediately, men began to mysteriously vanish, to the point that warnings were given to never stray more than a few feet away from the rest of the group. Still, more men disappeared, only to be found dead later, their bodies mutilated and their heads cut off. In fear, the conquistadors finally fled, refusing to return to the mountain, which they dubbed Monte Superstition. The legends had begun. The Peralta Massacre is where reality and legend are mixed within, as many scream that this happened, while others, including some historians, claim it's nothing but a legend that is deeply ingrained into the Superstition Mountain mystery. So, legend or reality has it that sometime in the late 1840s or early 1850s, a large Mexican family were ambushed and brutally murdered by the Apaches who had lived throughout this area. Supposedly, this family had discovered the mine and had filled their carriages and stagecoaches plumb full of gold ore, and they began heading back to Mexico. But not before the Apaches saw what was happening, and that's when supposedly the Peralta Massacre took place. So I found a tale dating back to 1880 regarding two former soldiers who come to an area not too terribly far from Superstition Mountain, and they're searching for jobs with a silver mine. They share with their potential future boss that they had found gold ore. Not only do they tell him this, but they show it to him. And when asked where they discovered this gold, they told him that they found it at Superstition Mountain. Well, this man, he was fully impressed. And not only did he give these two gentlemen jobs, but they become partners. He also bought the gold from the men right on the spot. So, you know, in these men's eyes, it couldn't have gone more successful for them. They were very happy. Not only did they have money in their pockets from the gold that they just literally sold, but a new partnership was formed with an extremely successful, wealthy man. And they got a job as well. They're on cloud nine. I would be too. Shoot. They want to dive right in and go find more gold, make more money, impress this dude right out of his socks. So they head back to Superstition Mountain. And to be more specific, they're in the Weaver's Needle area. They're on a mission. But sadly, it's a mission that neither former soldier will return from. The men are never seen alive again. Concerned after not hearing from his two new partners, this man searches for the two missing men. Search parties conducted, and the end result, it's heartbreaking. The two former United States soldiers' naked bodies are found. Cause of death? Fatal gunshots. In 1891, a German immigrant named Jacob Waltz dies. After his death, a mysterious box is discovered under the dead man's bed, and the contents in it prove to be indeed quite the precious treasure, close to 50 pounds of gold ore. Sadly, there is a long, long list of names of people who have come searching for the gold and are either never seen alive again and are later found, usually brutally murdered, or they remain missing to this very day, vanishing without a trace. In 1896, a gentleman named Elisha Rivas called the Superstition Mountains home. He was a prospector during the California Gold Rush, and if you looked in the dictionary and searched for Mountain Man, he would surely be the image and the description. He was dubbed as the Madman of the Superstition Mountains, an old hermit who kept to himself. He had a desolate way of life, and this is the way he preferred it. Neighbors? Pfft, what neighbors? Traffic? What the bloody hell is that? Supermarket? Grocery store? Kroger's? No thanks. The madman of the Superstition Mountains preferred to live right off the land. He grew his own vegetables and he hunted his own game. With the type of lifestyle that he lived, it's really no shocker that hygiene was not his compadre. He didn't really bathe nor shave or anything like that. And while his presence may have offended many a nostril, he was actually a very smart, intelligent man. He even went to college. Word is that he would run around the mountains just completely naked and shooting his rifle wildly into the sky. People, they would stay clear away from him. Can't blame them. And it's even said that the Apaches kept their distance, referring to Elisha as the White Devil. Elisha Rivas, the madman of the Superstition Mountains, the old hermit, the Apaches' White Devil's life, comes to an abrupt end. In the spring months of 1896, his remains are found. He had been decapitated, his head not too far from his body. Some believed it was from natural causes, but I don't know, last time I checked, your head doesn't detach from its body naturally? No, this was indeed intentional. This was murder. His body had been ravaged by wildlife, and he is buried where his body was discovered. The same year Elisha Rivas' body was found, just a few months later, actually, two men would go searching for the Lost Dutchman gold mine, and they're never seen again. Today, they remain missing people. Dr. Adolf Ruth, he goes searching for the treasure, and he vanishes sometime in the summer months of 1931. You see, the doctor, he was quite obsessed with the legend. He had actually obtained a map from his son that had been dated back to the Mexican Revolution. The following year, that being in 1932, his skull is found, and it shows the cause of death. Two bullet holes. He was in search for the last Peralta mine. Dr. Ruth, he loved adventure. While he was in California searching for the Lost Peg Leg Mine, he falls, and he would break several of his bones. He would have to depend on using a cane for the rest of his life because of this. But a cane didn't stop him from his adventures. No way. He was elderly. He had health problems. He was a doctor. He knew what was going on. And of course, he had to rely on a cane from those earlier injuries. There had been major concern from family, friends, and locals, just the community in general, about this elderly, frail doctor going on such a trek alone, just him and his cane and that map in the Superstition Mountains. So people, they tried convincing him, dude, just cancel your plans, it's not worth it. But he wanted to just so badly go that, unfortunately, the pleas and the begging, they fell upon deaf ears. He goes as planned on his two-week venture, alone, and in doing so, his fate was sealed. He is never seen alive again. And in January of 1932, scattered remains are discovered, and it is obvious that animals had spread them about. The remains, they proved to be Dr. Ruth's. One of the ways that they were able to identify the doctor, you know how sometimes, okay, I'm going to identify you by dental or tattoos or something? Well, due to the fall, when he was looking for a peg leg mine in California, he had to have these metal pins in his legs. And when they found his body, there were indeed metal pins in those legs. One thing that was not with his belongings, however, that he definitely had on him and guarded it like it was precious treasure, because to him it was the map of the Peralta mine. Rumors began to spread like wildfire that he committed suicide, but remember, the doctor had been shot twice. There were two bullet holes in his head, and while his gun was found at the scene, guess what? It was fully loaded. So, I'm sorry, if he committed suicide like some people claimed, that means he would have had to shoot himself not once, but twice. And then, after he shot himself two times, he's reloading his weapon? No, come on. Again, I have to mention, it's like the woman who was stabbed several times in the back of her head and body, and they said that it's a suicide. I believe that is being opened up again and being looked into, as it should, because, hello, it's murder. But I have to say, in my opinion, the doctor, Dr. Ruth, he did not kill himself. That was murder. In January of 1933, a gentleman named J.A. Bradford, a mining electrician, often referred to as Tex, goes searching for the Lost Dutchman mine, and he's never seen again. Today, he remains a missing person. And in late 1936, a hobbyist from New York, a gentleman named Roman O'Howe, is in the Superstition Mountain searching for gold, and unfortunately, he suffers a fatal fall. And just the following year after that fatal fall, that being in 1937, a man named Guy Frank, better known as Hematite, had been searching for the lost gold mine, and he comes back with no problem at all. He lives to see another day. With him, he had several rich gold samples. Now, not too long after his return, he goes to search for more gold. He knows it's out there. He's proof of that. He found that. He had it in his hands, in his possession, right? But this next trip, he goes, and he is never seen alive again. Months later, in November, his remains are found. He had been shot in the stomach. And, get this, next to his body, which was, you know, severely decayed at this point, there was a tiny bag of gold ore. Why was that left behind? You'd think whoever murdered this man would have taken that. Or maybe Hematite had a lot more gold, and this was just a little portion that was left behind, unbeknownst to the murderer or murderers. Who knows? A retired photographer named James Cravey charters a helicopter on June 19th of 1947. He's dropped off as planned in the Superstition Mountains, like so many others before him. James's curiosity and interest was piqued when it came to the Lost Dutchman gold mine, and his toes are dipped into the search. According to legendsofamerica.com, they mentioned that this was a very publicized trip, which is not smart considering this area where people have come to search for the gold, for the truth, and they're never seen alive again. A location where people are found brutally murdered, usually with a gunshot ending their lives, or never seen again and continue to be missing to this very day. Saying to the public and making a big deal out of going to such an area, a notorious location, proves to be a very fatal move on James Cravey's part. You see, when Cravey doesn't show up, a search is conducted, and eventually a headless body is discovered. It was him. His skull was found a few feet away from the body, and it just so happens that this is the exact same spot where just 10 years earlier, Guy Hematite Frank's body, his murdered remains, were discovered. Very, very eerie, for sure. This is my first and only will, and is dated the 2nd of January 1946. I have no heirs, and I have not married in my life, and after all my funeral expenses have been paid, and $100 is given to some preacher of the gospel to say farewell at my grave, sell all my property, which is all in cash and stocks, with E.F. Hutton Co. Phoenix, some in safety deposit box, and have this balance money go into research or some scientific proof of a soul of the human body which leaves at death. I think in time there can be a photograph of the soul leaving the human at death. This was James Kidd's last will and testament. He was a copper prospector who had worked in the Superstition Mountains, and one day he had gone to work and he just vanishes without a trace. He's declared dead 9 years later, but since there was no body, there was some speculation that he may have willingly taken off, faked his own death, is missing on his own accord. Once he was legally declared dead, his things were sold off at an auction, and believe it or not, that is when they found this will. No preacher would get that $100 No funeral would be had. The fate of this man who had planned on what should be done after he died remains a mystery to this very day. In February of 1951, a body riddled with bullets is found in the Superstition Mountains. They were identified as a gentleman, a doctor, named John Burns from Oregon. And not too long after this doctor's body is found, another gentleman, Joseph Kelly, he comes to the area. He's visiting from Ohio, and like so many before him, he's never seen alive again. He would be missing for 2 whole years until a skull is found in Weaver's Needle. The identity is revealed to be that of the missing Ohio man. His head, it tells a story of a painful death, bearing bullet wounds. His death, it's ruled an accidental shooting, which in my opinion, bullshit. Dude was most likely murdered like so many before him. Only his skull would be found. What happened to the rest of his remains? Well, it remains a mystery. In 1952, two young men from California named Ross Blay and Charles Harshbarger, they go to Superstition Mountain in search of the lost gold mine. And, sadly, vanish without a trace. In 1955, a group of friends from Tucson come to the Superstition Mountains and search for, yeah, you guessed it, the lost gold mine. Somehow, some way, one of the friends, a gentleman named Charles Massey, is separated from the group. An extensive search is conducted, but they come out empty. He's never seen alive again. In late February, skeletal remains are discovered. They are identified as Charles. The cause of death? A gunshot, up close and personal, right between the eyes. The following year, that being 1956, Martin Zaiwatho was visiting from Brooklyn, New York, and like Charles Massey, the year earlier, he is found shot to death. Even though his body shares a tale of murder, his death is ruled a suicide. In 1959, two friends, Benjamin Ferriera and Stanley Hernandez, were in the area looking for, the Lost Dutchman gold mine, when they discover what they believe to be gold, but in fact, it was actually fool's gold. It's pretty. I had some of it myself as a kid, probably still have some buried somewhere, but definitely not the real legit head honcho, ooh, that is gold, baby. Ben and Stan didn't know this, though. While one man, that being Benjamin, is totally stoked to just have half of the findings, the other, the so-called friend, Stanley, wanted it all. He had dollar signs in his eyes, greed in his veins, and murder in his soul. Stan, sadly, would take his friend, or who he pretended to be his friend, Ben's life, so he could have it all. What a fool. No pun intended. We're still in 1959, my friends. Laverne Roe Lee is found shot to death. The murderer, Ralph Thomas, claimed that he was attacked by the victim and was only defending himself when he shot the man. Well, we just barely got out of the 1950s, and there is still quite a list of disappearances and murders to go through. Be sure to come back next Monday for part 2, the final part of the Lost Dutchman curse, as the body count sadly rises. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all phenomenal. Haven't heard every single damn one yet? Well, really, there's no need to cry. You can binge listen to your heart's fright and delight by hitting up any of those podcast platforms, such as Deezer, Player FM, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will
see you next week. Where's me gold?